This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another program in our Citizens Council Forum series. We're happy to have with us as our guest today Senator Sam Ervin of North Carolina, serving his fifth year on Capitol Hill in the Senate. He's a member of the Judiciary Committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, Government Operations Committee, and the Senate Rackets Committee. So, Senator, from your committee lists, I can see that you're a very busy individual indeed. I certainly want to thank you for taking time out from your schedule to be with us today.
Yes, I'm sorry the NRA is not still in effect so I could stop my day's work when the sun went down.
Yes, sir. Senator, you have a reputation as an outstanding constitutional lawyer, so I'd like to discuss with you for the few moments that we have today some of the constitutional ideas as applied to some of the civil rights legislation, so-called, that has been introduced and is being argued at the moment.
Yes, I think all the civil rights bills that have been proposed of a compulsory nature are alien to the spirit of our Constitution, because our Constitution clearly contemplates that these matters are matters for state and local solution and regulation and not for national.
Now, the element of force...
In other words, virtually all of them offend the amendment which provides that the states or the people reserve all rights not delegated to the national government by the Constitution.
The element of force enters into some of these so-called civil rights bills on a number of occasions. Would you discuss that briefly?
Well, as a bill been offered in the House by Congressman Seller, and I understand it's be offered in the Senate by Senator Douglas and others, which proposes, in effect, a sort of a carrot-and-stick approach to the problem of school desegregation as well as to all other so-called civil rights. It proposes to offer some small bribes to the schools that will desegregate voluntarily. And then it proposes that if they do not desegregate voluntarily, that the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare shall step in and appoint its act as a school board for all of the localities that do not voluntarily desegregate and resort as end up plans themselves for carrying out how the schools shall operate. If this is not an affront to the Constitution, it is also even an affront to the so-called school desegregation decision, because that decision, as interpreted by one of the greatest judges who ever lived on the North American continent, namely Judge John J. Park of my state, does not require any state to desegregate its schools. It merely provides that no state under the 14th Amendment is to be permitted to prohibit, rather deny admission to a particular school to a particular Negro child on the ground of that child's race.
Senator, do you think that some of the so-called liberal forces here in Washington are rather surprised at the opposition school integration is meeting in the South?
Oh, yes. I think they ignore this very plain fact, that not only is it the custom to educate children in the South in segregated schools, and not only has it been shown that children of both races are far better educated in segregated schools which are free from the tensions of all of this turmoil, but those who attempt to compulsory desegregation of schools ignore a very important fact. If you go anywhere in the United States and observe people, you will observe this fact. Whenever Americans are free to select their own associates, they virtually always select as their associates members of their own race. Now, this is not because of racial discrimination. It is because there is a law of nature which decrees, in effect, that like seeks like. And anyone who attempts to compel races by force, or under court decree, or the use of armed force to associate with each other in what are essentially social institutions, without their own consent and against their will, they are attempting to bring about an artificial condition. And in any case where you try to thwart the laws of nature and to substitute for them artificial things, you're bound to run into difficulties.
Senator, you mentioned the use of armed force. Do you believe that the use of federal troops, such as was done in Little Rock, was something that the people who backed it are now very much regretting that they did?
I do not have any doubt of the fact. I couldn't understand how anybody could send troops in, especially if they had other laws that ought to, that should have been resorted to. They should have had tried to prosecute people in the local courts there for any crimes of violence, so they should have called out the United States Marshals. I think that every person who is not a fanatic knows that you cannot solve racial problems by the use of military force, that the only the racial problems are like human problems. They can only be solved by goodwill and tolerance and mutual understanding down in the local community where people live. Their solutions cannot be dictated from on high, either by courts or by legislative bodies. And especially, no such problems can be solved by the use of force.
Do you believe that the court has gone rather far afield of late in ruling not only on segregation cases, but on other cases as well?
Oh, there's no question about it. That is shown by the action of the chief justices of the highest courts of the state in the resolution they passed last year in which they implored the Supreme Court of the United States to act with restraint and to confine itself to its constitutional fields.
And those were not just southern states.
Oh,
either.
No. Three-fourths of all the 48 states and the only 22 southern states.
Getting back to the civil rights bill for a moment, the one that Seller introduced in the House and that Senator Douglas and others put into the Senate, I understand that the Health, Education, and Welfare Department is supposed, as you said, to act as sort of a super school board for those areas that are not willing to integrate the schools voluntarily.
Exactly. They're to step in and they're to take charge of the schools.
And then if the people still don't want to do it and refuse to do it, then they can go get some help from the Attorney General and force them to do it. Is that correct?
That is the idea of the bills. In other words, this bill would restore Part 3 and add, with which we cut out of the Civil Rights Bill in 1957, and add a whole lot more to it. Why any lawyer would support a bill like Part 3 is something that exceeds my comprehension, because it provides no limit whatever to the law. It would give the Attorney General the power to supervise state and county and municipal government in all of the localities of the United States. And not only that, it gives nobody any rights, that provision, because the Attorney General can bring a suit for one person and refuse to bring it for another. And it gives a weapon to an occupant of political office. That's all, what it does. It also would authorize the Attorney General at his discretion to practically abolish our present, if he was a zealot, to abolish our present constitutional and legal system of government in the United States.
Do you feel that perhaps the Attorney General was sort of revealing his hand not too long ago when he issued a statement in which he expressed his surprise and disappointment that he hadn't received more complaints from colored residents of the South?
That was the most astounding press release that I have ever known a public officer to issue. For one who is, in a sense, occupying the position, you might say, of a prosecuting attorney, to deplore the lack of evidence and complaints that they're not more violations of the law. I would have thought that if I were a prosecuting attorney, that I would rejoice in evidence of the fact that people thought the law was being observed.
But instead, he seemed to be actually soliciting people to come file some
complaints.
Yes,
if he was in under the old system when law enforcement officers were compensated on a fee basis, I could understand why he might have some sorrow at the evidence of the law-abiding nature of the people of the South, rather than be disappointed by it.
Now, tell me, Senator Ervin, do you feel that much of the difficulty, as far as the civil rights issue is concerned, is due to a lack of knowledge on the part of our northern congressmen and senators?
It's absolutely due to a lack of knowledge. They don't know the conditions that they are attempting to cure. They don't have them in their areas because in the north, you find members of the colored race residing almost exclusively in cities, and there they are herded into ghettos, and where they have segregation, in fact, even though they profess not to have it in law. And they do not understand conditions in the South. They haven't been there. But go down to my state of North Carolina, they would find that we have five state-supported colleges that are headed by presidents who are able Negro educators. They would find that in the town of Durham, North Carolina, that the largest insurance company owned and operated by members of the colored race in the world exists. They'd go to Winston-Salem, they'd find that colored people held a franchise for public transportation in the city. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, last year, one of the colored attorney, who's very well known in Atlanta, Georgia, came before the Civil Rights Commission, not the commission, but the committee considering the bill, mm-hmm. And he admitted to me on cross-examination that he owned rental property there that had a minimum value of not less than $125,000, and that was what's been accumulated in an area where members of this race, according to those who back these civil rights bills, do not have economic opportunities.
Well, Senator Ervin, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today and helping make your contribution to interregional understanding.
Well, thank you, Dick.
Our guest today has been Senator Sam Ervin of North Carolina. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms. The historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts. The right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets. And the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.